So today, as we've been going through this sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, we're going to talk about, I think, the hardest part of the Lord's Prayer, if we're going to be honest. So many of us, we love asking for God to help us out with all our stuff, giving him our daily bread, so to speak. We love last week's hearing about the forgiveness thing. We love forgiveness. We don't always receive it really well, but we love receiving forgiveness. We love that freedom that God gives us, not to be encumbered by the guilt or the past anymore, that freedom to live life, the freedom to glorify him, just to live life unencumbered by the past. But today we're going to talk about the part that says, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. We're going to talk about forgiving other people. And I don't know why it is that we struggle so much with this, but boy, howdy do we. We struggle forgiving family members. We struggle forgiving neighbors. We struggle forgiving people at work. We don't even mention politics. A whole media mainstream is based on encouraging us to hate people that we don't agree with. We struggle at this forgiveness thing powerfully, and yet God tells us that we are forgiven as we forgive those who've sinned against us. This is a big deal with God. It's not okay for us not to forgive. So to get you kind of thinking about this a little bit today, I want you to, if I were to ask you to name the person that has hurt you most in your life, do you think you could do it? I mean, usually as I ask that question, it's not hard at all. In fact, it comes up immediately. I didn't even finish asking the question, and that person's face or their name or the thing that they did kind of flashes before us. We can even feel a little bit of that anger or that resentment or that frustration stirred up within us. It's something that just kind of comes to us instantly, even if it was years and years ago. And why does it happen? I'm not really sure, but it is amazing to me how our minds hold on to that hurt, isn't it? How we can still remember things that have happened years and years ago. There's this kid named Mike Kimbrough. He was in my seventh grade class. And we were the two best kids, or two best at sports anyway, in our school, small school. But anyway, we competed at everything, right? And but I guess he didn't like that at certain points because he began to, you know, try to leverage his size a little bit over me. And he began hitting me every single day, you know, because he thought it was funny. And if I'd flinch, he'd hit me a couple times, you know, just to keep me in my place or whatever the deal was. And I was kind of raised in a Christian house, like many of you guys, and I was taught never to fight. And so I tried to figure out different things. And when I asked my parents, you know, what should I do? And for the first time in my life, my dad said, well, sometimes you got to stand up for yourself, son. And I went to the counselor at the school, figured maybe they could do something about it. Nothing. So after a couple months, I finally put my shoulder down and rammed him into the lockers. And apparently they got his attention because the hitting stopped. But the hurt remained for years. For years. I don't like being bullied anymore. I guess as a result of that, probably nobody does. But the hurt remained for years. And it's even funny. Now, so I mean, 54 years old, for heaven's sake, and the forgiveness has been given long past. But I can still remember that kid's name. And the problem with these kind of hurts, right, as we think about them, as we rehearse them, is that when you hold on to a hurt and you don't forgive it, it turns into a sort of hatred, a resentment toward that person and what they did in your life. And I think that's where we get into trouble, and that's where our hearts have a hard time. And that's where we keep, I mean, the person, they just did it the one time, or in my case, for 3 months, probably a period of time, but you rehearse it over and over and over thousands of times, and even today, you let those things affect you. And so there's this reality that all of us have to live with. And we don't like the reality, but it's still a very true reality. And it's this. Did you know you're going to be hurt in this life? I feel like I almost have to verbalize it, but you're going to be hurt in this life. And anybody who's been around for any period of time knows that's the case. And so one of the most fundamentally important things that we can learn in this life is how to overcome that hurt. I say that very specifically too, because I think so often we get hurt and we just play victim to it and we feel like, well, it happened and we got to live it for the rest of our lives. We have to keep experiencing it. We can't seem to let go because if we let go, it's like we give them permission that it was okay and it wasn't. But God gives us a way to get actually over the hurt where we don't have to rehearse it anymore. We don't have to feel it anymore. We don't have to go through the frustration, the anger, and the resentment anymore. There's a freedom on the other side of this forgiveness thing. So just let's think about this for a little bit. What's your typical reaction when you get hurt? I'll tell you what it is, at least according to all the studies that I read. When somebody hurts you, the typical reaction is you want to hurt them back. You want them to make them feel as bad as they made you feel. You know, it's called retaliation, to get revenge, to get mad, to get even. It's the American way of life. When I was in college, I don't know why I did this, but I took down a whole bunch of headlines when I was in college, and I still have them in my files. And so I came across this one, LA Times article back in, what was it, 1991 or something like that. "Don't get mad, get even" was the title of the article. "Now just a phone call away. Revenge a la carte." A business started back early in the 1990s in LA, making the prospect of telling someone to drop dead easy and anonymous. The advertisement read, "You can for $25 send them flowers," dead of course. "You can send them a not-so-fresh fish." A banner on a plane said, "Get even with your enemy. Send them a cowchip by mail. 1-800-COWCHIP. And that's the way our society's always tried to get revenge, isn't it? They hurt me, so I have all the permission in the world to get even with them. I mean, let's not actually deal with the problem. Let's not solve anything. Let's just get even. Today we use social media to slander, to bully, to intimidate in ways that we couldn't have even imagined in the past. But all that highlights this idea that we keep struggling with this getting even thing. We keep talking at each other and not to each other. We never work through anything. Yet the real problem with this kind of stuff, this getting even thing, is not just because it's evil, and so much of it is, but it's because it doesn't work. It doesn't actually fix anything. Revenge never releases the resentment. Because after you've gotten revenge, and some of you have had that experience where they did something to you and you did something back, and you may have even hurt them, but you were still mad and you still had the hurt feelings of what happened and you still had the resentment. Maybe you've now had guilt because of the hurt that you'd caused them. But the resentment still remains. In fact, there's only one antidote to resentment that's ever been given mankind in all of its history, and it was given to us by Jesus. And Jesus says the only antidote to getting over your hurts, and he says that is a possibility. You actually can get over your hurts and live in freedom on the other side of it. The only one antidote ever given to by Jesus was this: it's forgiveness. And that's what I want to take a look at this morning. I say that because I think some of us, even though you guys are as close to perfect as there is, I think we struggle with this forgiveness thing. So let me give you three reasons from the Bible why we should forgive. I mean, these are God-given reasons. He encourages it. I'll give you a fourth one. He commands it. Okay, so that'll be a fourth one. But here's the first one I'll give you. Colossians 3:13 says, "Be ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others." I want you to remember that God has forgiven you. In other words, when I feel forgiven, it's always going to be easier to forgive other people. I work with a different perspective. I'm freed moving forward so I can free others a little bit easier. And here's another thing. God will never forgive you, ask you to forgive another person for more than he's already forgiven you. Now, sometimes I'll say that and it seems like a platitude, and so people will push back on me just a little bit. And so I'll just ask you, and this is kind of what I do. I'll ask you, if we took the 10 worst things you've ever done in your life, and somehow we were able to record it, and somehow we were there already out of video, and we put it up on the screen, how mortified would you be? 10 worst things you've ever done. I mean, you guys are pretty good, so I'll just take it to the last decade, and you guys are really good people, so it's probably way better, but how many of you guys want to have us see that video of the last 10 years, 10 worst things? How about even just the last year? 10 worst things you've done. Truth is, when we remember how much we've been forgiven by God, it makes a difference. It changes our perspective a little bit. Again, he just wants you to do for others what he's already done for you. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people have a hard time forgiving, is that they really just don't feel forgiven themselves. I know they can't let go of the past. They can't let go of the thing that they did. And they operate under this crazy principle then, if I don't feel good about me, I certainly don't want you to feel good about you. So they don't forgive. So often then they have a hard time forgiving somebody. When you're having a hard time submitting somebody, one of the best things you can do is just go over all the things that God's forgiven you for. And I'm telling you, we need that perspective. We need that perspective of God forgave me this, and he's called me to forgive this person. And you can name what they've done. I've heard some of the most horrible things done to mankind in the different churches that I've been to as people share their stories with me. There's real hurts out there, over-the-top evil kinds of hurts out there. But here's your choice. You can live with it for the rest of your life. Keep going through those same situations. Keep experiencing that same hurt, that same pain. Or you can let it go and let God. And if you can do that, you can experience freedom from all that junk and all that garbage that keeps you spinning. You can experience freedom to live your rest of your life without it. It's an amazing thing. But God calls us. Man, he pleads with us. Forgive others. Not so that they can be released, but so that you can be released. I'll give you another reason. Because this resentment thing that we keep trying instead, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It always hurts you more than it hurts another person. In Job 5:2, it says, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish and senseless thing to do. That's what Scripture said, foolish and senseless. Why? First of all, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't undo anything that's happened in your life. It doesn't fix any of the pain. You never change anything that's happened. It doesn't change the past. It doesn't do anything. And the second reason is, it makes you do stupid things. Stupid's another word for sin. I mean, think about it. Have you ever said or done anything in the midst of resentment or anger that you wish you wouldn't have said or done? Absolutely. Psalm 103 verse 33 says, he was so bitter, he spoke without thinking. Anybody ever done that? I have. But again, the main reason is it just doesn't work. It makes you and you alone miserable. I mean, think about it. You're there stewing and going over the past and being frustrated about it and being angry about it, but the other person's totally oblivious to what you're doing. They're out there living life, enjoying life, going through life. They're not thinking about you at all. You're only punishing yourself. Resentment never hurts the other person. It just hurts you. It doesn't work. And Job 18:4 says that. You're only hurting yourself with your anger. There was an old radio program called Amos and Andy, and I went through a phase where I listened to all of them. Anyway, there was this one that said, it says, he told Andy, there's a guy at work who's always slapping me on the chest, but I'm going to fix him. Tomorrow I'm going to strap some dynamite to my chest, and when he slaps me, he's going to blow his hand off. But that's about how smart it is to get revenge. It's like cocking a gun and shooting yourself so that the recoil hits the other person. It doesn't make any sense. It always hurts you more than the other person. In fact, research has shown that resentment has tremendous negative consequences, physical consequences, emotional consequences, spiritual consequences. Have you ever heard anybody say, he's a pain in my blessed assurance, or he's a pain in my neck, or a pain in my back, whatever? It's true. Resentment makes you physically ill. That stewing and spewing and that going over and over all the negative, it has an effect on your body. Science has proved this. Medicine has proved this. Guy walked into a doctor's office one time and he says, Doc, I need more pills for my colitis. The doc said, oh man, who are you colliding with now? S.I. McMillan wrote a book called None of These Diseases and talks about the effects of the negative effects of resentment on our bodies. In one chapter, it says, it's not what you eat that matters, it's what's eating you. Stress does amazing kinds of things. That worry, that anxiety, that hatred, that resentment just spins us in cycles that aren't good for our bodies, that our bodies aren't made for. Depression is the depletion of emotional energy, and nothing depletes emotional energy faster than resentment and bitterness. When people say that they're depressed, one of the questions I almost always ask them is, are you holding a grudge against somebody? Because spending all that time in that negative space, it just drives you deeper and deeper and deeper down that dark hole. But there's also spiritual consequences, and that kind of just leads us to the third reason I'll give you. And that's that I'm going to need forgiveness in the future, and so are you guys. In Mark 11:25, it says, when you're praying, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I mean, you're hearing that? It's a pretty bold thing. There was an example that Jesus gave of a guy coming to the temple. And Jesus told him, he said, go and forgive any grudge that you're holding before you give your offering to the temple, right? Before you give your offering to God. Go and forgive that person and make it right and then come back so that your offering might be accepted. Here in Mark 11:25 says, when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that the Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. There's a precondition to this forgiveness thing that we don't often think about. Jesus' blood covers all, right? But if we withhold that forgiveness from another person, that should be red flags swaving back and forth saying, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. Jesus even gave a parable about it. This king forgave the debt of this guy that owed him millions. And that guy went out and he wrung the neck and sent the guy to prison who owed him hundreds. He was unwilling to forgive even though he had been forgiven an immense amount. And the king judged him for it, sent him to prison as a result. God takes a very stern look at this unforgiveness thing that so many people struggle with. He says forgiveness is a two-way street. He goes on and says, when we pray, Father, forgive us our debts, what? As we forgive our debtors. What you're doing when you're praying that, you're just saying, God, forgive me in the same way that I'm forgiving everybody else. Do you really want that? I don't know. Some of you should be really slow to pray the Lord's Prayer at times, because forgiveness is that two-way contract. A guy came to John Wesley one time, and he said, I could never, ever, 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 ever forgive that person. What they did was so horrible, I could never forgive them. And John Wesley very simply replied, then I hope you never sin. Why did he say that? Because if you refuse to forgive, you're burning the very bridge that you need to cross to go to heaven. Forgive us as we forgive others. God says forgiveness isn't optional, it's a commandment, right? He says it's part of the Christian life, it should be part of who you are. There's only two things that make a Christian a hypocrite: not receiving forgiveness and not giving forgiveness. Sometimes we stink at both, but usually we gravitate toward receiving it. I do something against Brenda, man, I want her forgiveness, and if she says you're forgiven, I'm all joyful. But if Brenda does something against me, it's harder for me to say, Brenda, you're forgiven. Why is that? The Bible teaches that we are never able, we're never going to be able to receive something that we're unwilling to give. And so we need to learn to do this forgiveness thing. Because you know, if I hold on to this hurt, it's going to turn into hate. And if I hold on to this hurt, it's going to turn into resentment. And those two things are much harder to deal with. It wastes all sorts of time, all sorts of energy. It doesn't hurt the other person at all, which would seem like it would be the goal. And so it seems, again, we need to learn how to do this forgiveness thing more and more in our life. And so I'm going to give you a couple ways to think about this morning, a couple, tools that God gives us. And they're not tools that are easy, but they're tools that make the forgiveness thing ultimately easier. And the first one is this: deal with it immediately. How many times does an event happen, and you're upset at the time, right? But had they just said sorry, had you just worked through it, had they just gotten the other side of the offense that had happened, you would have been fine. But you didn't. And then you had all night to think about it, and you got madder. And then you didn't deal with it. And then you had all week to think about it, and you got madder. And then all month to think about it, and now you don't even talk to the person anymore. Ephesians 4:26, it says, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Get over it quickly. Because again, if you hold on to anger, it turns into resentment. If you hold on to hurt, it turns into hate. Again, those are two hard things to deal with. So don't go to bed angry, he says. If you're having a fight with your husband or wife, work it out. Stay up as long as you need to figure it out so that you don't go to bed angry, because it's going to be a lot harder to deal with the next day. There's been times my wife and I haven't gone to sleep, right? Because we've had to deal with an issue, but we worked it out. And then when we finally did get to sleep around 4 or 5 in the morning, man, we slept like babies till 7 o'clock when the alarm went off, right? It was great. But he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do it quickly. It keeps you from cycling through all the negative. It keeps you from rehearsing the pain over and over. And allows you to get back to that place where you can actually deal with it, where you can actually hear the I'm sorry and share the I forgive you. And then I'll give you another one. This isn't fun at all, but it's forgive them whether they ask for it or not. Ephesians 4:32 says, forgive each other as readily as God forgave you in Christ. Note the words as readily. How readily did Christ forgive you? On the cross, Jesus cried out with his arms outstretched. And I want you to listen to these words that he shared, and I want you to think about them with this person that's hurt you. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus had a perspective on mankind that so often eludes us, doesn't it? He saw that they were hurting and they were in pain and they were acting out in that hurt and pain and that evil that they had somehow gotten themselves into. They were causing all sorts of damage in people's lives around them, but they had lost sight of God. And if they continued their way, they'd go to hell and they'd spend eternity rotting for that kind of sin in their life. They don't know what they're doing. They don't see that they're crucifying the Messiah. They don't understand that they're doing this to their only hope. Forgive them, Father. When Jesus said forgive them, who had asked for it? Well, nobody yet. He took initiative. He forgave us in advance. He did it readily. God says forgive people whether they ask for it or not. whether they accept it or not. He says, I'm talking to you, right? So he says, do your part. You forgive them and be released from the resentment. You forgive them and be released from the hurt and through cycling through that memory again and again. You forgive them and receive freedom. And then if they don't want to forgive you, that's their problem, right? But you can get on with the rest of your life. You can get over and past the hurt, because the reality is you'll never stop hurting until you forgive them. So that's the key. That's the way that sets you free. I should probably give you one more important piece of this before I conclude, but let me explain to you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't happen. And forgiveness is not wishing it didn't happen. And forgiveness is not ignoring the hurt. And forgiveness is not telling them, oh, it's okay, it wasn't that big a deal. Because you and I both know it was a big deal. And so you don't say forget it, you say, I forgive you. Releases them and it releases you at the same time. Forgiveness is not demanding that they change in advance. The Bible says we're to forgive them as readily as Christ forgave us in Jesus Christ. So how should I forgive in the exact same way? Instantly, freely, completely, and continually. I was talking to a Bible class about this the other day, and I was trying to get home the point. So when you say the words, I forgive you, sometimes they're just the words right at the beginning. I mean, we're still hurt. We're still kind of working through it. But we say, I forgive you, because we want to release it, you know, so that we can move on. We want to release it so that they can move on. But here's what you're committing to when you say, I forgive you. You're committing to never bringing it up again for the rest of your life. You're committing to never leveraging it in a future argument. You're committing to never talking about it. You're committing to acting as if it never happened. Because the second you bring it up, you've taken back that forgiveness. And the second that you bring it up, you've taken away the peace that they received from that forgiveness and the peace that you were receiving from forgiving them. Forgiveness is a hard thing. God does it so effortlessly, it seems, but it wasn't effortlessly, was it? He sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. He gave a lot of effort into this forgiveness thing. That's his call to us. And it's as much about giving them some peace as it is about freeing us from our past. So let me ask you, who are you holding a hurtful memory about? Who are you bitter still against? Could be a parent or a husband or wife, former spouse, old boyfriend and girlfriend, teacher who said something in school that hurt your feelings, a boss, a friend who betrayed you. Jesus says to us this morning that whoever it was, let them go. For your own sake, let them go. Is it difficult? Sure. Sure it is. But it underscores again for us why we need Jesus. And I'll share this truth. It doesn't matter who hurt you, right? Or how long you've been hurt, or how deep the hurt was. And again, I could share stuff with you that would make your hair curl. Jesus has the power to make the rest of your life the best of your life. But that can only happen if you can release that negative past. That you can let go and let God be their judge. That you can let go and let God now free you to live a future unencumbered by all that yuck. Because Jesus says it starts with giving everything up to him. It continues with this forgiveness thing, right? That allows us to let go of all the resentment and all the hurt and all the pain. And it ends with Jesus' healing hand wiping away that hurt and pain once and for all. And reminding us yet again that you are loved and forgiven by an amazing God. It's a hard thing. This forgiveness thing complicates our forgiveness if we don't do it. God doesn't excuse it. And let me just broaden it beyond just the family issues that we have. Or let me bridge it beyond the neighbor that you don't like or the person at work that you're struggling to forgive. Let's even talk about politics today and the media, how they ramp up everybody. Let me tell you the right way. You can disagree with a person's policies, politics, laws they put into place, but you can't hate the person. That's hard, isn't it, in the midst of a political discourse today? It's not okay to hate the person. This is the way God looks at that person. This is a person I've created. that if they turn to me can be forgiven. That if they turn to me as one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be praying for that. That God becomes more real to them in their life. That God gets hold of them and shares with them more and more truth so that they make different decisions, more godly decisions that helps not just them, but helps the world that we live in. Again, this forgiveness thing is hard, but it's His call to us. Mind you again, you are loved and forgiven by an amazing God to be freed as you go through this life, not just from the things that you've done, but from the resentment that you've been carrying. Let Jesus free that today. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And we talked about the hard one in the Lord's Prayer today. We talked about this forgive other people thing. And so, Father, I just pray for several things today. I pray give us a perspective, first and foremost, about how much you've forgiven us. Let us be overwhelmed by your grace and your mercy. Because as we look back at our lives, there's times, Lord, where we have sinned and we know we should have been hammered for it, but inexplicably you showed us mercy. And there's times we did get hammered for it, but you showed us a comfort and a strength to get through that difficult situation to the other side. Maybe it's even something we learned from as we've gone through life. It reminds us that we are loved because you discipline those that you love, you say. But Father, as we've dealt with those different people, whether it be a kid in middle school who hits you, or a boss who was a jerk to you, or a sibling that said something almost unforgivable, or whoever it is that hurts you in the past, I pray that you remind us first and foremost how much we're forgiven, and then remind us that this resentment thing is stupid. It doesn't work. It's not in our self-interest to keep doing it. It only makes us miserable. Instead, let us turn to you for your power to forgive so that we can be freed from that mess, so that it doesn't destroy any more relationships, so that it doesn't sour our spirit toward the world around us. Free us so that we can experience again your strength and your peace and your love and your forgiveness and your power. And then remind us that you got us in our weakness and the times that we fall back into the grudge thing, just that you forgive us and you renew us and that you heal us so that you give us the strength to forgive again. Father, we love you, but we do stink at this. And so we need you in power today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.